Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 15th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 64 today, and we're going to unpack paragraph 2, and it begins with, we did exactly the same thing, and it ends with common manifestation. And listen for Robin to unpack that first. Well, let's see. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry H. from Florida, the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R. from Georgia. We have readers today and support for the rest of the meeting, Robin P., Kara L., Dana P., Lois P. will greet newcomers and get sponsor contact information, so have pen and paper handy for that after the recording has stopped. And then Robin P. will wrap us up with some announcements here so that you know the other things that A Vision for You is here to support you in your recovery with. You don't want to miss any of this, so stay to the top of the hour. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for Monday, June 14th, 2021, is 17148, 17,148. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for Tuesday, the 15th, 7 a.m. is 17153, 17,153. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery, the 12 steps of OA, to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Carrie H. from Florida to please read the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for all the service that you do. This is Terry H. I'm coming from the Blue Angel Campgrounds in Pensacola, and I sure hope you can hear me because telephone service does not get an A here. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being that the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to those people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having made a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be on the Tuesday team. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. from Florida. I will now ask Rhonda R. from Georgia to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be of service today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Please note that this would be the star 1 key function only for the muting purposes, and you'll hear the friendly voice say, "You are now muted," and that way you'll be assured that you've pressed the star 1. Today we resume our study. We're in the Big Book, in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 64 today. We're going to unpack paragraph 2, which begins with, "We did exactly the same thing with our lives," and ends with common manifestation. We're going to unpack that single paragraph today. And I'd like to ask Robin P. to open us up by reading that particular paragraph and sharing her experience with unpacking it in her life. Thanks so much, Robin. Good morning to you.
Thanks so much, Mel, for all your service and everyone on the line. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestation. Well, this is so perfect. We were talking about before the meeting that it's the food is just the first, it's really just the symptom. It once you put the food down, then you get to see, you know, that where that mental obsession has taken us, you know, and the dis-ease. And it's selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And it will go through, you know, what these things are and what, you know, the the self-esteem, the sex relations, the personal relationships, the pride, you know, what happened? What happened? And I think someone just needs to check mute status if you can. Just check your mute if you can, but our pocketbooks, our ambitions, and all of these things. And it comes down to, for me, selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And it's that mental obsession. And we just moved to Costa Rica yesterday, and I was full of mental obsession and fear. And I just got to see that was the dis-ease. And I just get to rely on God and my fellows and ask for help. And when I'm feeling discomfort, it's because I'm not asking for help from God and my fellows. And just today, I feel so grateful for this meeting and for the meetings before this meeting, and just to surrender and know that all is well. And it's just the dis-ease. And I have a solution today. And it's the recovery program outlined in this book. And, you know, taking stock is the key to my health. And I'm just so grateful because I know the solution today. And it's how I recover, by being honest, open, and willing. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. And thank you so much. I'm so grateful I got to share and be part of this meeting.
Thank you very much, Robin P., and welcome to Costa Rica. So the lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 64. We're going to unpack that single paragraph today. If you would give your name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, I can take down a list of folks. And I wanted to also mention that we do value all of the experience that's here on the line. We want to hear from all of you. And we ask, though, that you share every third day in order that others might be able to have a chance to share as well. We have over 200 people on this phone line today, and as you can imagine, it takes a few times to cycle through for everyone to have a chance. So if you could step back, if you shared on Friday, then tomorrow would be your day to share, just to kind of keep that into perspective. So I'm ready to take some names this morning.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Phyllis D.
Phyllis D.
Teresa C.
Ronnie B.
Ronnie, is that what you said?
Yes, Ronnie B.
Ronnie B. Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Sandy W.
Sandy W.
Santa H.
Santa H. Okay, let's go with that lineup there. So let's hear. I have Sherry, Phyllis, Teresa, Ronnie, Sandy, and Santa. Sherry, you want to start us out with your 3 minutes, and then Phyllis, you be in the batter's cage.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Hi there. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. I love this paragraph. I love this book. I love these steps. And I want to just say that I do all of these things, right? So why am I doing this inventory? Because I'm trying to save my life. So that's number one. If I don't do this, it will lead me back to the food, and then I could die, because this is a fatal, progressive, permanent disease, and I've learned all about that. So I have a couple different examples. So my very first fourth step, you know, I came into program knowing that I was just a horrible person and no self-esteem, and I couldn't wait, actually, to do the inventory and to show, like, look, see, here's the proof. I'm a horrible person. And what I got was somebody listening to my inventory, basically once again saying, nope, you're not that special. You're just a human. I did all those things. And so every time I thought that I was special, unique in any way, good or bad, I have been proven that I'm just one among many. I love the fact-facing process, you know, and where did that start? That started when I found a vision for you, and I started looking at my food first. I had to be entirely abstinent, and that was a fact-finding process. I became a detective, and what I have learned with this inventory and with doing the steps as outlined this way and being in the steps every single day and staying recovered for this long is that that's all it is. It's like I'm a detective, you know, and I just want to find out, what is there anything in my food plan that I'm looking forward to? You know, I'm looking at that like a detective, looking at, you know, why am I disturbed, right? And so most of all, I see that it's all self. And this is, you know, it's talking about a business in the previous paragraph. And when I'm taking someone through the steps, I just tell them that we treat ourselves like a business. Like, I'm a business. I want to be a success in the world. And what does that mean? That means that I'm walking hand in hand with God, and I'm doing God's will, and I'm trying to bring love and tolerance and patience and all of the principles in our program, and being able to go through any situation without having to turn to food as a solution. And by doing this work, I have found that I'm able to do that. And to see that, like, the best thing is that this is such a gift to be able to live this way, to see that I am the problem, right? And if I'm the problem, there's a solution, as everyone has said earlier. And that this is, you know, some of these things, I couldn't have turned out any other way, but I still need to look at them, right? So it doesn't matter what was done to me. And I will pass with that and just say that to the newcomer, there's nothing to fear except for not doing it, because we'll die in this disease if we don't do this work. And it's actually a wonderful gift. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm from California. Phyllis D., you're next, followed by Teresa C.
Hi, this is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois. It's a beautiful day out here on the prairie. Well, I have been instructed to share online because I have so much fear of sharing. And it's to help me speak and not get over my fear, and to show anybody that I would sponsor how to overcome the fear. So here I am. It talks about taking stock honestly. It took me a while to see I had flaws. Go figure. And that the world and everybody in it were out to get me. I learned I was a people pleaser in this phase. And people pleasing still rears its ugly head at times. It's a hard one to get rid of, but I am human, and I have a way of getting rid of it today. I learned also I had a big part in all my problems, either causing them with resentment and negativity or whatever, or perpetuating them through gossip and passing on my poor feelings on the person that did it. I do want to say I'm very grateful for this program and the gentle sponsor who helped me open my eyes to my part. And I needed gentleness at that time, and I still do. But I know I started to share from my old book that is just so beaten up, and it's just, but it's the best thing because it helped me with the steps. But it was so marked up that I got distracted, and I get distracted really easy. So I got my brand new book out, and I was able to concentrate a little better and see what it had to say to me. So I'm very grateful to be on the line today, and thank you for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Melanie.
Yeah, you betcha. Thanks, Phyllis. Phyllis D. from Illinois. Teresa C., you're up next for your 3 minutes, and then Ronnie B. will follow you.
Hello. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. My name is Teresa, and I'm from New Jersey. I'm fairly new to the Visions program, and so this paragraph to me is kind of one of the awakenings that I've had since I've come to Visions and really started to study the big book in depth. And in the paragraph, you know, it talks about taking stock honestly, and that word honestly and honest throughout the book has always been a word that I've circled, because that was really difficult for me. Even when I thought I was being honest, when I really searched and did that fearless moral inventory, I found out that honesty was certainly a character defect that I had. You know, the lack of honesty in many things, trying to cover things up or make excuses or whatever. And that the reason that we're doing the fourth step, and that I needed to do that fourth step, was to search out my flaws, because it was the flaws, not the food, that was the problem. That kind of maybe was in the back of my mind, but it's really come forward as I'm studying with you folks and studying the big book, that food was, was my answer for a while, but it really was not the problem. My flaws were the problem. My anxiety, my uneasiness, whatever it was, those flaws just caused me to have that disturbance that made my brain think of food, and that food was the answer to solve my problem. The things about self manifested in various ways, and that's what has defeated me. All the things that people have said before about, self-esteem and selfishness and all the other selfisms that cause that anxiety in me and then brings me to the food. But now I've learned that that food, that I need to look to my higher power rather than looking to the food for the answer. And that through my higher power, through my, steps 10, 11, and 12, I understand much better now what that really means. I've heard people say, I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, and it was just like a saying to me. And now I understand the workings of it much better. So I'm still learning, but I really thank God for being able to find this program and to open me up to some new solutions to the problems that I've had with food. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Teresa C. from New Jersey. Ronnie B., you're up next.
Good morning.
And then followed by Sandy W. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. Ronnie B. in Missouri, grateful recovering overeater and food addict. So when I came back to OA this last time, and it's about 18 months now, and so I've been in numerous other 12-step programs for years, including OA. And so I had done a list of 4 steps, over and over. So when it came time to do the 4th step again, I was very cockily thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to have much because I've done a lot of this already. And so I don't have to repeat it. I just need to add the new stuff. And I love when somebody said, I had to be a detective, because as I started to search more, see, I was just thinking at a topical level with my limited thinking. But as I started to search more, I realized that some of the things that I might have addressed before were not fully addressed. And there was more to uncover. It was like the onion, peeling the onion, that there were very many layers to one particular thing in my life. So while I might have only had, I don't remember exactly, like maybe 8 or 10 people in institutions, et cetera, the depth of them went beyond what I'd done before. And of course, there were new things. So I feel very fortunate, as I do now, that I have a sponsor, and I would agree that there's a gentleness to her that I don't have. But there's also a firmness and direction. And I needed the combination. I can't feel like I can walk over people, and I don't. I never have with my sponsors. There's always been that respect that this is my sponsor, and I'm blessed to have that person, and I still feel that way in my program. And especially in this one, because I was a total wreck when I came in, So it's like I was my own circus and I was my own monkeys. But as I kept going through with the 4th step all the way through 9, and now we do focus on 10, 11, and 12 for the most part. I might be going through something different and I can discuss that. But the focus has to be, when all is said and done, on the steps, because that's the recovery program, that's the action of the program, right? It's great to be able to get an update and once in a while talk about something else that's going on if there's nothing pressing, you know, we developed, I've developed a relationship. But it's always interesting when I get back with my sponsor and we talk and she has a wonderful question time. Okay, well, thank you. This has been enlightening for me. I hope it was for someone else. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Ronnie B., Sandy W., you're up now, and then followed by Santa. And then actually we're going to open it up for additional comments in about 6 minutes. So if you want to get ready. Thanks so much. Hi, Sandy.
Oh, good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And I was just thinking back in high school, I worked in retail, and we had to take inventory there sometimes. I can't remember if it was every year or every 6 months, but I did not look forward to that process because it was boring and it meant extra hours, and there was just nothing fun about it. And back then, I was certainly all about fun. And not that I would consider taking a 4-step inventory or a 10-step inventory or a nightly review as fun, but I certainly at least now see and live the benefits of that, because by taking stock honestly, you know, it as part of the 12 steps, having taken steps 1, 2, and 3, it just really can transform my life. It can transform my day. You know, I am a little amazed, you know, thinking back about how those inventories were not very often, how frequently now I do need to take stock honestly. And, you know, I'm seeing primarily in my marriage with my husband retired and then COVID hitting, and now that things are opening up again, things that didn't impact us the way they do are starting to again, in terms of him being the extrovert ready to get out there and me being the introvert, you know, happily sequestered in a lot of ways. But again, that's the amazing part of this process, is that, you know, taking God into that inventory process, having him help me see those flaws, and they are, just as everyone has said, so much around self. You know, I can certainly be self-seeking and selfish with the best of them, and that is revealed each and every time I go through an inventory. But, you know, I'm just so grateful, is what I want to say, as to how this process works and how it helps me get out of self, helps me see that, you know, when I'm the director of the show, it never goes off well, and helps me to remember why I do what I do each day in terms of working these 12 steps and surrendering to a God who whose will and whose plan is so much better than anything I could have ever come up with. So I'm going to keep coming back and attempting to live this program to the best of my ability each day. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Melanie.
Thank you, Sandy W. from Connecticut. You're going to find us on page 64 today in the chapter, How It Works, on paragraph 2, unpacking the lines that read initially, we did exactly the same thing with our lives. It ends with common manifestation. And we're going to hear from Santa H. just now, but in 3 minutes, we're going to open up the lines from our comments on that particular paragraph. So if you want to get ready and situate yourself, I'll take more names. Hi, Santa.
Good morning, Melanie. And happy, and my name is Santa H. I am a grateful, compulsive overeater living in the solution one day at a time. And thank you all for, and thank you, Team Tuesday, for your service. And a lot of what I wanted to share was already said, but I'm willing to claim my seat and still share anyway. Wow. I just look at my journey. I've been in this program this month for 8 years, and just look at how far I have evolved. And I remember coming in here and didn't want to face myself, didn't want to look at myself, because the common manifestations of the disease taken over, that I numb myself out with food so much that I never took time to look at myself, because I was always busy focusing on how I could help somebody else so that I would take the focus off of my own character defects. You know, so coming into this program, you know, over time I became happy to read There Is a Solution. You know, and it told me directly in black and white what the solution was. And then now we're in the chapter of how it works. So now I get to go through the process of the fourth step, the fifth step, six, seven, and eight, so that I get to practice these skill sets in my everyday life living today in step 10, 11, and 12. And at first, it was not comfortable, but as I do it more 8 years later, it has become a lifestyle for me, a way of life for me. Every day, I'm looking at where I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid, because those characteristics are going to keep showing up every day. And I start with the third step, prayer, because it says, remove my difficulties, which are my character defects. And so, you know, in six and seven, so character defects. So that's what this whole program is about. It has taught me how to love myself, how to be courageous in the world today, and most important, to be my authentic self by going through these steps and living in step 10, 11, 12, actually doing the work every single day and making it a priority in my life. It's hard in the beginning for those who out there are who are in step four or about to come to step four, but with practice, it gets easier. It's just like learning how to ride a bike or any other skill set you want to learn. As you get as the more you do it, it gets easier and easier and easier. And it is a way of life that I never dreamt I would have. Thank you all for listening. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. from New Jersey. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 64. If you'd like to give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, I would love to be able to take your name down. And just to remind you that we do value all experience here, but if you've shared within the last 3 days, that you would step back a little bit to have somebody else be able to share that hasn't shared. So that would mean if you shared on Friday, tomorrow would be your day to start sharing again. Thanks for that consideration. Okay, I'm ready for about three or four people.
Laura H., Illinois.
Laura H., Illinois.
Judy F. Mm-hmm.
Judy F., like Sam, mm-hmm. from?
Yes, Wisconsin.
Thanks. Anyone else?
Deborah P., California.
Deborah P., California. Let's go with that and see what we get after that. So we have Laura H., Illinois, Judy S., Wisconsin, and Deborah P., California. Laura, you're up first for year three, and Judy, stay close. You're next.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I am so happy to be on this call this morning, as I won't be able to make my evening meeting. I just want to say this paragraph is packed full, and I'm going to be honest, I'm coming out of a relapse. Clean with the food for many, many days now, and I like this line that it says, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. And I'm recognizing today, this moment, as I'm having my morning quiet time and I'm really trying to talk to God, that I'm a runner. I just want to run away. I don't want to deal with these character flaws, and I don't want to deal with the scale going up and not measuring my food and just being a runner. I don't want to face it. And I have this disease, but the good news is there is hope. There is hope. I listen to all of you on this line, and you give me hope each and every day. And the other thing is that ability of being honest and peeling the layers of the onion, I'm hoping that the pain that I've gone through and recently gone through, feeling like you're suffering, you know, my muscles ache, everything hurts. Again, if you have a lot of weight on you, that's what happens. And it's, you are suffering. It's not a good feeling. My disease will tell me, oh, well, it's too late for you. Just throw in the towel, keep doing what you're doing. And that's a lie. It's a big lie. Because there is hope, and there is a proven workable method, and these pages tell us exactly what to do. So I'm very grateful to be on this call, and I'm going to ask my higher power, for me that's God, to help me today to get honest, to stop running, to do the work, which makes me uncomfortable. It's not the best thing for me to run, and to face it is challenging, but I need to do that. So I thank everybody on this call. You all give me hope and inspiration each and every day. I know I'm not alone. Together we get better. So I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks, everybody. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Laura H. from Illinois. Next up is Judy S. from Wisconsin. And then Deborah P., you'll follow.
Good morning. My name is Judy S. from Wisconsin, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I went back into the food a couple weeks ago, and today I'm praying for abstinence. I'm committed to doing what I have to do today to be abstinent. And as I've been listening to everybody talk about, step three, and now we're on step four, I listen to Vision for You every day because it's my daily shot of reality of who I am. And, and I like the last person, am a runner. I can't even count how many times I've tried the geographic cure and moved to different places. But I'm settled in a place now, and my hope and prayer is that I'll just be here, until I'm not. And it has to get really bad for me to, again, be willing to put down the food. And, that choice, do I live like this, feeling hungover every morning from the food, or do I make another choice? And I'm looking forward to doing my fourth step. My prayer, the set-aside prayer, to just start anew and to just live in today. That's all I have, is just today. For some reason, that works better for me than one day at a time, to just, be in today. Just for today, I'm going to do this. Just for today, as it says in the paragraph, I'm going to take stock honestly. Just for today, I'm going to pray for God to show me the flaws in my makeup. I realize now that I haven't been beating myself up, but I have been hard on myself. It's like, oh, I'm such a failure. I could have done this. I could have done that in my life. And, I need to just let go of that past and let go of everything that I've done and learned, even in OA, and start new, because I'm broken. My bridge is broken in my brain that tells me, oh, it'll be okay to go back into the food. It'll be different this time. And it never is. So I'm just grateful to be here and to be willing to be abstinent for today.
That's kind.
And God willing, I'll keep going. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Judy S. in Wisconsin. Deborah P., California, you're up for three. I think we'll have time for one more after Deborah.
Hello, good morning, everyone. This is Deborah P. in California, grateful member. I don't really have anything different than what everyone has said, but just that this was really the turning point for me when I came into the 12 step, was just, writing all this stuff down and then sharing it with another person was just like, wow, okay, now I see how this program works, and, and started to experience some freedom. And so I can relate to the running. I tend to turn to my compulsions when I just feel kind of trapped. And, that could be many different things, trapped, something in a relationship, something in the workplace, something, and then there's also all these other things, the greed, the envy, the, the resentment and all that stuff. And so when I have a bit of abstinence, and so once I put the food down, I became very, very aware of those things. But I could still kind of feel the food, like, pulling me, like, come on, just, come back this way. And I think you know, the more I guess, you know, I kind of got to like a different level when I really began to bring my higher power into pretty much like every single solitary, every time that feeling came up, oh my gosh, you know, I gotta get out of here. I gotta, you know, I would pray and I would turn it over. And, you know, I mean, everything, my food, God's like, I don't even know what to eat. Like, help me eat, you know? So, and I think things really began to change when I started to do that, just bring my higher power into every single thing I did. So that's all I have today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Deborah P. from California. Time's going to allow for, looks like, at least three more people when I look at the time here. If you're interested in commenting on paragraph 2, page 64 in the big book, chapter How It Works, love to get your name, the first letter of your last name, and your state.
Pam M., upstate New York.
Pam M.
Maria F.
Maria F. Ireland, eh?
Yep.
Okay.
Melanie.
George E.
George E. Okay, let's see if we can wrap it up with that. Okay, let's, Pam, you're on for yours.
Good morning, OA family, and I am a grateful compulsive eater living in the solution one day at a time, and I just love the big book, and I love the sharing, and you know, for me, what I'm learning these past, you know, few months is that all of my failures are not necessarily my fault. All of my shortcomings aren't necessarily my fault. And I spent a lot of time looking at, you know, my obvious character defects. But one of my character defects was that I just didn't know. I didn't know that part of my eating disorder was due to childhood trauma. And I didn't know that my childhood trauma was due to multi-generational trauma. And learning, becoming a trauma investigator has been incredible for me and a catalyst of compassion as I move through these steps 4 through 9. I can have so much more compassion for myself and for those people that wind up on my list of resentments, of fears, of those that I've harmed, and in my sex inventory. And what a transformation that has been. And part of that is also part, in part, is that realizing the, you know, saying the sick man's prayer, it takes on a new meaning for me when I say the sick man's prayer. Because now when I used to say, you know, this person is spiritually sick just like me, with kind of an attitude that like being sick was bad. But now I have an understanding that being sick is really sad and painful. And this is what's changing my recovery for me and getting me out of the pit of resentment and anger. Thank you. And transforming me to start to really walk with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Pam M. from New York. Maria F. from Ireland, your 3 minutes.
Thanks so much, Melanie. Hi, everyone, and thanks for your service. Team Tuesday, my name is Maria F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in Dublin, in Ireland. And yes, step four, I came into the room coming up on 10 years ago, and I remember, you know, we came in on a Monday night in Black Rock here in Dublin, and I remember the two steps that I could see in the wall were steps 4 and steps 9, and they absolutely terrified me. Couldn't see anything else, couldn't see any other step, couldn't see powerlessness. Could just see that I was going to have to take inventory. And I was in another program. So I knew what that meant. I thought, not here, though. I don't have to do that here. Uncover, discover, and discard. And, you know, Lorna, when I did take that inventory, that the people on my list that I thought were the problem were actually the people that I was the most selfish towards, the people that I had hurt the most, yet I thought that they were to blame. You know, I was the problem. I was the common denominator in my life. And you know, what I don't transform, I transmit. So what it doesn't get changed in me, it gets transmitted, and I hurt other people with that selfishness and self-seeking. And in step four, I simply learn in a skill set, because, you know, step three is making a decision that I'll turn my life over to God, over to my higher power, you know, and turning, yeah, my life, my will and my actions over to God every day, and learning that skill set for life, because this program is a design for living. I thought that you did step four and you were done then, it was over. You know, you never had to do it again. And learning that, you know, in steps 10, I do 4 to 9 every single day, and sometimes a few of them, because it's what blocks me from God. It's that selfishness, that self-seeking stuff that can just keep me away from my higher power. And today I want a relationship with God. That's the most important thing in my life today, because I thought it was food. I thought that food was my problem, and food's not my problem. You know, it was the solution to my problem, but it's certainly not my problem today. My problem is my mind, you know, and it tells me in the big book, you know, the main problem of the alcoholic center is in their mind. It was in how I thought and how I saw the world and how I perceived things. And step four shone a light in all of that for me, you know, where I could see my attitude, and I needed to change an attitude. You know, page 52 talks about that transformation. Thank you, Melanie. Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maria. Maria F. in Ireland. George E., you're up for about 2 minutes, it looks like, today, sir. Sorry about that cutoff.
I'm George E., recovering compulsive overeater in Ohio. Interesting paragraph for sure. I dragged out one of my old big books. I got a large print one I keep in the car. And for some reason, I had made a note about As Bill Sees at 98. And of course, I couldn't even remember what that was. So I looked that up real quick. And this is about anger, you know, which I suppose the reason I put it there is I've always thought that was my primary character defect. And, you know, the food fuels that anger. And I, too, tend to get lost in the past. You know, there was all that childhood trauma and blame. But the final line of that reading, it's a letter, is only love heals. And I remember thinking how hopeless that is, because, you know, that particular reading's talking about the group, how anger can hurt the group, and how, maybe even more so than the individual. Now, what is the group? You know, the family. I mean, I go into meetings around Christmas time, and I say, "Well, family, you know, my name's George," because I really had to divorce myself from my family. You know, it was the only way I could survive. You know, and you know, life is better today, and it's getting better every day, and that's the true objective. I mean, that's the long-term objective. I mean, applying step four to our life the way we do a business inventory. Well, how do you inventory emotions, or how do you inventory any strong feelings or lack of love, for that matter? You know, it's an easy program, but it's not easy. You know, it's a mystery. But thank you for having this program. Thank you for letting me share. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Yeah, you too, George. George E. from Ohio. And that will wrap up the sharing portion of the meeting today. And we'll start the process of closing out the recorded portion by continuing on. But don't leave. We have an additional 10 minutes left. So stay to the top of the hour if you can. We surely would like to invite you to do so. So in closing out the recorded portion, I'd like to ask Kara L. to please read from our big book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we will follow that with the Serenity Prayer. And if you'd like to join in unison, just press star 1 on your phone keypad. Good morning, Kara. Thank you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be here with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.